Doug Delhay,
Wednesday, May 1st, 2013.
Thank the Lord. It's good to be here. It really is good to see you all again. And it's been, we're trying to decide, you can hear a couple years or so since we've last been here. But it kind of feels like home. It kind of feels like a place that the Lord is and is welcomed, and the blessings of the Lord are well known among you. That's saying a lot in this day and age. That's saying a lot, I believe, in this day and age. I was eating the supper, which I try to do every day, here a couple months ago, and I don't normally watch the sports or anything. I don't follow any sports. But they were interviewing a baseball coach, and he's talking about how bad the team was doing. And he said, I think the problem is they've been conditioned to lose. In other words, I mean, as he went on to talk about it, was that they showed up, they played a game, they wanted to win. They wanted to play the game. They practiced well and everything, but when it came down, right down to time to work out a victory and do things just right to win the victory, if they didn't, well, it was okay. Losing didn't bother them like he thought it should. And because they had consecutive losses, a string of losses, and they were comfortable with that. And in, again, that's not the idea of the game. That's not the supposed to be the goal, to be good losers. It's good to be a good loser, I think. There's some grace there, something to learn from that, but that's not the goal. So this word conditioned jumped out at me. And in thinking about that in light of Scripture and events and people in Scripture, the more, it's one of those things that the more I thought about, the more I could see it, the more you can see it throughout the Bible and in our own lives, how conditioned we are. You know, I know you don't have assigned seating when you come to church. Most of you are conditioned to sit pretty much in the same spot, same row, and when somebody else sits there, you don't respond really positively to that. I mean, you don't kick them out, but we're conditioned in so many ways. It's just the way we respond. The word conditioned, by definition, means to demonstrate or manifest a consistent pattern of behavior or thought as a result of having been subjected to certain circumstances or conditions. It's just we demonstrate or manifest a consistent pattern of behavior or thought as a result of being subjected to whatever circumstances. And we'll look at some examples here, but I kind of condense this, that it's kind of a presupposition based on experience. You know, we're conditioned to stop at red lights. Not everybody does, but we should be conditioned to stop at red lights. And there's good conditioning, there's bad conditioning. Sometimes we as Christians are conditioned, as I said, come to church, sit in the same place. This conference that I'm attending, this one organization where there's people that they're required to work a couple days a week from home, is talking about office planning, office layout, and coordinating office space. But they are required, they all have laptops, and they have cell phones. And they are required, when they show up for work in the morning, to sit in some other cubicle than where they sat the day before. They leave nothing on the desk at the end of the day. They come back, and they have to sit someplace else. And at first, it was very hard for them. It was, well, I got my desk. I want my grandkids' pictures and my things around me when I get to work. They do not have that. And there was a lot of resistance to that first because they were conditioned to come in and have their territory, their little box, their little cubicle, and that was their territory. That was theirs. But the company conditioned them to do something different. But anyway, they were conditioned by demonstrating or manifesting a consistent pattern of behavior or thought as a result of having been subjected to certain circumstances or conditions. So they presume, when I go to work, and probably when you go to work or you go home tonight, you have a presupposition that the couch is going to be where you left it. You've been conditioned to know that furniture doesn't move itself around. If it's not where you left it when you left home, you know something's wrong. But again, as it's just the way we are. In every circumstance, in every realm, we expect certain results. But like this baseball team, they were conditioned to lose. You know, it was okay, it seemed to be okay with them. It was acceptable. As humans, as I've been saying, we've all been exposed to all manner of things that condition us to do, act certain ways at certain times under certain conditions. As Christians, the Lord, like this company, changing these people's condition, the way they're conditioned, the Lord wants us to expect different circumstances. He wants us to manifest different behaviors. He wants us to respond to situations and circumstances based on experiences that he has taught us. So we have this battle between flesh and spirit, old creation and new, the world and things heavenly. Christians think differently. They respond differently. We're called to do things differently. We're called to do things that the world would not do. They do not make sense in the world. And beyond that, as we'll definitely not have time to get to tonight, but I'll try and hurry. I'll try and leave you with an outline because it's just, again, something that permeates human existence. But let's turn to Jonah. Not Job yet. We'll only turn to Job once. I'm going to jump to the very end of the book, Brother Doug, so I'm going to just jump right to the end of the story, and yeah, that's a good part. But the book of Jonah, again, without reading all of it, we're familiar, we're basic with the story of Jonah and the things that took place, but in chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now the Lord spoke to Jonah, and it expected Jonah, it would appear that Jonah would respond positively to the Lord's command. That we get the impression that the Lord was, that Jonah was accustomed to the Lord speaking to him. The Lord was accustomed to speaking to Job, or to Jonah. Here it comes, Job. But the word came to Jonah, and the Lord asked him to do something. Now, the conditioned response was, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do." Jonah needed some more conditioning. He ran the other way, as we know, in the storm. And we'll go ahead and turn to chapter 4. But Jonah did not respond in a pattern consistent with his faith, his belief in God. He responded very much in a carnal way, if you would, or a human way, with human reasoning. He said, "I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to those ungodly people." As we read in chapter 4, verse 1, after all the events took place, and it seems that, read chapter 3 first, verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach it unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." Jonah got conditioned. He learned from former experiences and patterns of behavior not to run from God again, this time. It's a process. But anyway, you can see how Jonah was conditioned out to obey the word of the Lord after the events of spending 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish. Chapter 4, after Jonah had preached to them and they repented and the Lord withheld the judgment he had said would come against them if they not obeyed, it displeased Jonah in chapter 4, verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was maybe conditioned that, you know, when you preach to those Ninevites, they would not respond, they would not listen, and God was going to bring this judgment upon them and destroy them. He had dealt with the Ninevites. He knew the Ninevites. That's why he didn't want to go there. But his conditioning was wrong again. And he prayed unto the Lord in verse 2 and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country?" In other words, "Lord, was this really necessary? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And there's There's no sense me going through this. The Lord could have done this himself. We are conditioned oftentimes, though we know the grace of God, we know the love of God, we know how gracious and long-suffering and merciful he is, we don't want to take it, that message, and take what the Lord puts on our hearts to those who are unbelievers or those who are ungodly, because our condition is they aren't going to listen anyway. And we know people that have come out of ungodliness, and it didn't involve me at all. So it's kind of conditioned, well, the Lord can handle it. He doesn't need me. But in this, we find the Lord was conditioning people. He was changing people's hearts and minds. He was changing their eternal destinies. And he was conditioning Jonah to obey and to listen and to do, because the Lord does things differently than we usually expect. About the time you think you have God figured out and how he's going to respond and how he wants you to do what, and you get into this routine, he throws you a curveball. And he wants you to do it completely differently. The conditioning in the Lord is he wants us to listen and follow the Spirit's leading. That's the commonality. That's the conditioning the Lord would work in our hearts, is to listen to the Spirit's leading. Because God does things differently. He does things in his own time. And he knew the Ninevites, and he knew their condition, and he prepared this message especially for them, and it touched the king. The word came to the king, and he immediately arose from his throne, as chapter 3, verse 6 says, and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes, and he proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and the nobles. And on that, there would be this nationwide repentance and sorrow in their hearts for what they've been doing. They saw it. Suddenly, the Lord opened their eyes, as at the end of chapter 4, and again, I'm not going to read the lesson that Jonah learned from the gourd and the worm that destroyed it. As the last verse says, well, last two verses, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Does God have pity abundantly on the ungodly? And I agree, most of the time they don't listen. But then again, until the Lord worked in my heart and brought me to a place, most of the time I didn't listen either. But God can do anything. And when the Spirit is working in a person's heart, and here comes this affirming message from a prophet or somebody speaking in the name of the Lord, it goes straight to the heart. And it's about timing. Walking with the Lord in a Christian life is about the timing of God. And if we're conditioned to do the same things the same way every time, sometimes we exclude the Spirit's leading. We kind of just push it aside, that still small voice. We kind of push it aside and say, well, I always do it this way and it works out fine. If God really wants me to do something, then he'll really let me know. Our hearts, as the Lord works in our lives, he would condition us to hear the word of the Lord, to follow the Spirit's leading, to be, above all things, flexible, resilient, open to doing different things in different ways at the drop of a hat. With just a word. I normally, if you go to the kitchen, you pull out some silverware, I normally use a fork or a spoon in a certain way. But if I decide to use a fork to open a paint can, I don't expect the fork to rebel. We're called to be instruments in the Lord's hands. I mean, the Lord's made me the way I am. He's working my life the way he would. He would use me for lots of different things. And I'm accustomed, and it's like a fork, to doing fork things forks normally do. But sometimes the Lord wants me to do something different than I've ever done before. I'm not supposed to think like a fork. I should think like an instrument of God. I should not be conditioned to do this, you know, the same old things in the same old ways, but be ready for those unexpected things that the Lord will bring our way. Let's turn to Job. Chapter 42. So we'll go right to the good part. But actually, what was Job conditioned to think about his life before God? He was, you know, the normal day was to get up and thank God for all the blessings the children, the family, the livestock, all the blessings, to sit in the judgment seat at the gate and be respected people. That was a normal day for Job. But one day, everything changed. Actually, 2 days, everything changed. And his life was turned on its head. And to summarize the book of Job, they spent 40 chapters trying to figure out what went wrong, what happened. His friends were trying to figure it out. Because they were all conditioned that Job's life was like this. Everybody knew Job's life was being blessed. So what did he do to mess it up? What we find is God simply wanted to teach Job, recondition Job, if you would, to see the blessings of the Lord that come from a different source, in a different way, in a deeper way. In chapter 42, verses 1 through 6, after all these experiences and all this conversation, then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." Job's eyes were opened to things that he had this presupposition that they were true, but he was wrong. But God in his grace wanted Job to have more. More of what really mattered, more of what would be a greater blessing, and even a greater testimony still of the power of God, the ability of God. Has God ever done anything with a man's life like that before? Never happened to Job before. God had more for Job, but he had to be conditioned to receive it. He had to see his need. He had to see what was missing in his life, that the Lord might fill it with even more of the righteousness and the goodness of God. Let's turn then to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I'm hitting all these very well-known events and instances, primarily so we didn't spend a lot of time reading the text so much is seeing these incidents in Scripture from this point of view of being conditioned. Now here we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And we know the instances leading up to this, that the king had this image built, and when the sound of the trumpet blows, we go ahead and read. "Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, it'll be well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of a fiery, burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now Nebuchadnezzar himself was conditioned that when he said something, it happened. No God, no man, no country, nobody refuted what he said. He was used to being king, and what he said was law, and it simply went, no matter how ridiculous it was. No matter how much he'd been manipulated by those that served under him, he'd never had God interfere in his business until this time. So he said, "It's your choice. Who's that God? Who is that God that'll deliver you out of the power of a burning, fiery furnace?" He'd never known such a God. He'd never heard of such a God. The thing had never been heard of before. They weren't used to it happening. One thing makes you think about, what about all the other Jews that were in the land? What had they been conditioned to do? Not serve God? Not respond to the things of God? They'd been conditioned to lose. They've been conditioned to be under the power of Nebuchadnezzar and feel sorry. They had not been conditioned to win and stand. They've been defeated. They were defeated people. They were hurting people. So this incident came up. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful or hesitant, if you would, to answer thee in this matter. Now, these three were conditioned to believe God. They were conditioned to understand the ways of things eternal. They were conditioned, and they knew that given a situation like this, they knew what the best choice was. Now, their human bodies, what do we say about children? They touch a hot stove, they'll never do it again. They touch it once, they'll never do it again. If it's hot, you stay away from it. They knew what fire felt like. They understood heat. They understood flesh, and they understood a burning fiery furnace, and they understood the power of the king. They understood all things. They said, but yet we are not hesitant to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar was not conditioned to get this kind of response from his subjects. He was full of fury, verse 19 says. Again, we know the story. But the point is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were conditioned to win. They were conditioned to be victorious. They were conditioned to weigh the circumstances, and they had learned that serving God fully and serving God only is a very good thing. They knew immediately what the best thing to do was because they had been conditioned by God. They had been through the overthrow of their nation. They had been having their lives basically taken over and their futures changed and just becoming property of the king and becoming what the king said they would become. They've been conditioned to not having control over their daily functions and their daily lives. They'd found out that they belonged to Nebuchadnezzar, but they'd also learned that they could serve God in spite of all that. In spite of the tribulation, in spite of the trouble, in spite of the drastic change in their lives, in spite of the course that God had laid before them, they accepted it from God. They accepted it as the hand of God. They accepted it as fulfillment of Scripture and of the prophecies that they had no doubt heard in Jerusalem and the many, many prophecies about that coming day when the city would be overthrown. And there they were, taken away captive, even though they had, I would believe, served God and grown in the things of the Lord and put their trust in the Lord. They accepted the fact that they were captives in a strange land, passing through, pilgrims, but they also knew that God was in control. They served the Almighty God. They knew what the best way to go was. They knew they were conditioned to win every time. Even at the loss of their bodies, the way they saw it, they could not lose. Because if they were consumed in the fire, our God will deliver us and deliver us out of your hand, O king, if it be by fire or some other way. Either way, we are not going to bow down and worship the golden image because we have learned from our God that that is the way to be learned to be comfortable or conditioned to lose. And there's something in truth and in principle that is lost when we accept defeat in big ways like this, but also in little ways. And that's kind of the point I want to get to, is we, as we walk with the Lord and follow the Spirit's leading, as the Lord works in our lives day in and day out, every day, if you think about it, how many times do you accept the status quo and are you conditioned to, oh, well, the Lord will take care of it. Oh, well, it's always worked okay this way before. And we don't stand up for what we believe. Maybe we don't stand up for, maybe we don't follow the Spirit's leading and speak with the Ninevite. They're not going to listen anyway. I've got better things to do. Quick sidetrack. We got a little gift from Denver here a few months ago. It's a man who has spent most of his years on the streets, has never in his life had a full-time job. I won't go into detail. But he found us, and our normal Sundays turned into there's the homeless guy in the back of the church again. And it's been quite an interesting adventure, and it's ongoing. But he lived out here for 10 years, really in this area. I won't go into exact areas, but he's traveled around. But God's doing work there. And, you know, he's not going to listen to me anyway. Why don't we just run him off? He's not going to listen anyway. Well, the Spirit's doing something different in my life. And, you know, I've never met him before. I've never had to deal with him before. But he's never had to deal with me before either. And I've had him so mad at me and so upset because I won't do the way he wants. Anyway, he's getting conditioned. And the Lord simply, through the circumstance, revealing to me that, you know, sometimes they do listen. Sometimes those Ninevites do listen. Sometimes we just can't categorize and pigeonhole people and classes of people or circumstances or situations. You know, sometimes the reason you go to the grocery store isn't for groceries. Sometimes, you know, the reason that you take a different way to a common destination is for different reasons than what you think, because the Spirit has something waiting along the way. The Lord is doing a work in your life. He's conditioning you to follow his leading. How many times, I could ask Brother Doug this, but with others of you as well, have you had plans? You know, I was going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do today. Well, James tells us that's a sin, because we don't know what God has for us to do. And as my poor wife knows, just because she gives me the honey-do list does not mean I'm ever going to get to it for years. But anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were conditioned for victory, to win. Didn't matter the cost, because they won either way. They were conditioned to win. In Philippians, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. I've really tried to pick all the most well-known scriptures there are, so we wouldn't have to spend time reading. Philippians chapter 4. And we learn a lesson from Paul. Paul, I believe, was conditioned to win. Philippians 4:10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. If you want to substitute the word conditioned there, I've been conditioned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. Been there, done that. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed by who? By the Spirit. Both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's that same victorious. He'd been conditioned to win. He'd been conditioned to overcome. He'd been conditioned to, he didn't feel guilty when things were going good. And he didn't panic when things were going bad. He didn't feel guilty when he was safe and comfortable and warm and hungry or fed and sheltered. Neither did he get all bent out of shape and concerned when everything was just the opposite. Because he was like putty in the Lord's hands. He was an instrument in the Lord's hands. He could be used to feed, or he could open paint cans like a good fork. He had been conditioned by God for victory in any and every situation. And the work that the Lord did in Paul's life, are we to be followers of Paul? Are we to mimic and our lives to be like Paul's? Absolutely. You're taught that constantly and consistently, I know. Finally, so prince or pauper, palace or prison, God is God. And when we're conditioned to know that, to believe that, to walk in that, there is no losing. We're conditioned for victory. Finally, let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Beginning with verse 6, Revelation 4:6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For the Lord's pleasure we are and were created. I had a brief conversation with a doctor of psychology at another conference. I just go to conferences. I really don't work for a living anymore. I just go to conferences. But we were having a conversation, and it turned out that he is involved in the he's at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and he was also involved in their chaplaincy program as well. So we had hit some real common ground. And we were discussing these sorts of things, and I said basically this, that, you know, we're sitting in this really nice hotel eating area. It's surrounded by this stream of water, kind of an island thing, and there's fish, and there's you know water spraying from fountains and things, and up on this rock along the side there was this moss growing on this rock right by the water, and there's moss growing up in the rock, and I said to me it's like that moss, you know. This nice hotel with all these rooms and all these features and all the money that's invested was not built for that moss growing on a rock. It was all built for people and the purposes of the people that had the business. Every one of us are created by God. I mean, God's created all things, and for his pleasure we are created. There are lots of things in this world that they are there because of the circumstances, right? But if it wasn't for the human race, and it wasn't for mankind, as I told him, there is no purpose, cause, or need, or anything for the entire universe, my humble opinion. There's simply no need for it, except for the human race. And the whole universe out there tells me God has some extremely big plans for all of us. There's a lot of room out there. A lot of nothing going on, it seems. I think he has plans for all of that, and he wants us to be a part of it. But we need to remember and to realize and be conditioned that it's better to serve God only and serve God fully, and be conditioned by the circumstances of our life and our tribulations and any kind of afflictions we may go through. Don't panic. Believe God. Be conditioned for victory and overcoming. Now, don't get comfortable with losing. Don't get comfortable with losing. There is victory for every one of us. That's why we're here.